Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Group Harmony Review here at 90.7 FM on WFUV and WFUV.org, public radio from Fordham University in New York. I'm Dan Romanello, and tonight it's a great pleasure and privilege to have with me in the studio two friends of the show, Jerry Skakandish and Rich Kriz. I'd like to welcome you guys back to the show once again.
Hi, Dan. It's great to be here. We're going to have a little surprise for everyone later on.
Jerry.
I'd like to thank you, Danny, for having us up here. And I think we have some really interesting information to share with your audience a little bit later on.
I think so, too. And I'm looking forward to it very much. Toward the end of this first hour, Jerry and Rich are going to be back. And they're going to then complete the balance of the show with some first-time sharing of knowledge and information about two legendary rhythm and blues groups here in the New York area, the Mastertones on Bruce Records and the Swans on Rainbow Records and also on Steamboat. And I know, Jerry, you've uncovered some important information. You've been very kind about sharing it. You sent me some on the internet. I know you've been sending this out on the internet already. And Rich is kind enough to bring the records, and you're going to be, you've written an article that's going to be soon appearing for Tony Watson in his Blues and Gospel magazine. And I guess you talked to the members of these groups, and they're thrilled about us doing this.
That's an understatement, Dan. They haven't stopped thanking, you know, me and Rich and all the other people that they had an opportunity to meet at UGHA on January 25th. And I think that this is really the icing on the cake, so that now you'll have an opportunity to share this information literally with the world over the, you know, your internet radio here at Fordham University.
Thanks, guys. So you're going to be back in just a little bit, maybe the later part of this first hour. Jerry Skakandish, Rich Kriz are going to be back here with me. And they're going to be presenting some information and the history of the Swans, the Mastertones, going to be playing all their recordings. This is the first time ever in the history of this program, and we're all going to be in for a very special treat, and we're looking forward to it very, very much. We'll see you in just a little bit. Thanks, guys, for being here
tonight.
Okay,
Dan. Jerry's going to study his script, and I'm going to go polish the records.
Sounds good to me. Can't wait. See you in a little bit.
Strange the change
from major to minor.
say goodbye. Every single time, each time we say goodbye.
Don't leave me, Dolores, so beautiful. From New York City's Atlas Records label, originally back in 1953, Roscoe Thorne with an unlisted vocal group, Dolores. Here on the Group Harmony Review on WFUV in New York City, we began tonight with something very early and very pretty, something I usually use as an opening theme to the 1940 sound, or a closing theme to a pioneer rhythm and blues vocal group show. But the Delta Rhythm Boys took us back to 1947, so instead of using it as a theme, I presented it tonight in its entirety. Something written by Cole Porter, 1947 recording by the Delta Rhythm Boys, Every Time We Say Goodbye, on RCA Victor Records. And then the very beautiful item entitled Dolores by Roscoe Thorne from 1953. Thanks to Relic Records, by the way, that last one, not in its original format, as was the Deltas, the Roscoe Thorne item from a Golden Era of Doo-Wops CD. Thanks to the folks at Relic Records some years ago covering the great rhythm and blues vocal group sides on Atlas Records from right here in New York City. As we're kicking off the month, and as Rich Kriz and Jerry Skakandish will be joining me on part two of the show tonight for some very special collector material and collector information. Let's continue right now and go back to 1950. Some weeks back, I referenced the record companies which paved the way for the 45 RPM, RCA Victor being one of them. One of the earliest 45s ever issued, this 1950, the Four Tunes. And, of course, back in the late 40s and early 50s, when RCA was first getting into the 45 RPM market, they pressed these on very pretty colored wax, the Rhythm and Blues series on orange wax, to make it attractive. And I know disc jockeys would kind of want to play records like that, something new to file in the collection at the radio stations. But here's a very pretty ballad, an old standard done by the Four Tunes, one of my favorite by them of the early RCA recordings from 1950, here on the Group Harmony Review on WFUV in New York City. The Four Tunes, There Goes My Heart.
There goes my heart, there goes the one I love, there goes the girl that I'm not worthy of, there goes my happiness, it couldn't be. Somebody else in place of me. Goodbye, romance. It couldn't last somehow. I've had my chance. It's over now. I never thought that she would pass me by.
Four Tunes from 1950, RCA Victor Records, There Goes My Heart. Reaching back to the roots as we begin the month of March here in the year 2003, the anniversary month for the Group Harmony Review and / Time Capsule Show, beginning here on WFUV in 1963. As I mentioned, we began with the Delta Rhythm Boys. By the way, that Every Time We Say Goodbye was part of a trio available in a nice RCA Victor box set on 78 and also on 45. the Dry Bones box set featuring favorites of the Delta Rhythm Boys. Then we went to the Relic Records CD covering the groups of Atlas Records, a very fine production. Don't think an original could exist that plays Dolores in that beautiful fidelity and quality. Dolores by Roscoe Thorne, 1953, truly a collector's item in its original format, and just now, There Goes My Heart from 1950. We're going to listen to a little bit of Erskine Hawkins in the background with a tune entitled Tippin' In. And then what I'm going to do is go into something really nice from the Flares from California from 1954. Erskine Hawkins and the orchestra on RCA Victor with Tippin' In here at 90.7 FM. Going to have a special edition of the Group Harmony Review for you each and every Saturday throughout the month of March, the anniversary month of the program. So hopefully having special editions of the show, maybe some guest collectors and guest artists dropping by. And tonight on part two of the show, very special indeed. Thanks to Jerry Skakandish and Rich Kriz, going to be presenting material from the Collector's Corner and information about classic R&B groups for the very first time. As promised, let's go out now to California, 1954. Richard Berry echoing in the background for this beautiful lead by Cornell Gunther, The Flares on Flare Records from 1954.
This is the night.
Wrong. Dreams, my dreams have gone. darling, and I'll be your lover, right here in my heart. Please come back. Let's make a brand new start. I need you, darling.
One of the great fade-outs to a rare disc, that one from 1958, definitely from the collector's corner shelf. And that's the kind of gem you would have found in the old Dave Andrell collection, that rare material featured here on the Group Harmony Review some years ago. Quite a rare side on Corvette Records from 1958. That was Johnny Ross with an unlisted vocal group, My Dreams Have Gone. Everything in that last set featured on the original 45 RPM disc and in its original format. And going to be doing a lot of that this month, although mixing in some great CDs. But in the tradition of the origins of this show, as we're now in the 40th anniversary month of the program, unbelievable, and the 40th year of the program, but this is the month where it all started, March of 1963. We began with the Flares, Cornell Gunther and Company, 1954, Flare Records number 1044. This is The Night for Love, one of those items I picked up at Times Square Records in the, I guess, around 1960. And then we went to Cleveland, Ohio, from Los Angeles, went to Cleveland. The Carousels, with a nice female lead sound, from 1960 on GC Records, number 601. That was the Carousels doing Fading Away. Interesting that in the late 50s and early 60s, there were three R&B vocal groups named the Carousels, all from different parts of the country. The one we just featured was from Cleveland, Ohio, Fading Away. Then to 1958 for the Kents, Argo Records, number 5299, with All My Heart and Soul, and just closed it out with Corvette, number 1006 from 1958, Johnny Ross, My Dreams Have Gone. Let's go to Chicago right now, circa 1960. And definitely a rare disc from the collector's corner of the old time capsule show, now on the Group Harmony Review. Featuring Charles Davis on lead. Also, other members of the group included Norman Price and Charles Coba Jr., Hosea Brown. From 1960 on Formal Records, number 1006, out of Chicago, here's a group called the Trinidads. And it's so good when we're together. Here at 90.7 FM on the Group Harmony Review.
me so. Don't tell other people, I'm the one who knows. If it's only affection that you feel, tell me now. So no, tell me so. You're free to go, but if you should love me, I'll make that love grow. That thought makes me stronger, but can last much longer. Bless you.
Darling, hold me tight.
That is so great. One of those Al Brown related recordings on Zara Records, and it's got that fabulous late 1950s Al Brown sound. That was a group called the Veltones on Zara Records, Zara number 901 from 1961, entitled I Need You So. Also came out in the same year on Lost Night. By the way, once again, everything in that last four record set I played in its original format with respect to 45 RPM releases. Everything on the original 45 RPM. Going to be getting to a few more CD items in just a little while. But we began from 1960 or thereabouts out of Chicago on Formal Records number 1006, group called the Trinidads, When We're Together. Then the second item in the set, we went back to 1952, one of the earliest 45 RPM releases for Sonny Till and the Orioles, Jubilee number 5005, Tell Me So, with all those 45 RPM background noises included from 1952. Third item in the set, 1962. We went 10 years later, Sue Records number 756 for the Seniors or Seniors, May I Have This Dance? And we closed it out with the Veltones, I Need You So, from 1961. Have a ton of mail I would like to catch up on. I think what I'm going to start doing with respect to this very special month and editions of the show is acknowledge all of the mail as much as I can in bits and pieces each and every week. But we have a special segment in the Collector's Corner coming up on part two of the show tonight. So maybe we'll start picking up with mail acknowledgments next week and continue throughout the show. So many nice emails and comments and responses to the program. And I just love the opportunity to be here and share what we all love so very much. This very special rhythm and blues vocal group Harmony Sound, primarily based from the 1950s, although we'll go back earlier and go up even later, and even into the related areas and roots of the 1950s R&B vocal group sound. But I will be catching up on the mail and email acknowledgments, and thank you one and all for all the very nice comments. When I got up here to the station tonight, found a postcard, had been dated a few weeks back, sent in by Dee and John out there in Belleville, New Jersey. And they had requested a special birthday dedication, so let's make this a belated happy birthday to Dee from her husband, John. And they wanted to hear Margot Sylvia and the Tune Weavers. Well, coincidentally, I have a Tune Weavers records here in this box of 45s. So I thought it would be appropriate to send it out to these kind folks and thank them for always staying in touch with the group Harmony Review. As we go back now to 1958, wishing a very happy, happy birthday to Dee and John, and thank them for the mail. Margot Sylvia, the Tune Weavers on Casa Grande Records, and a story about that little boy back in 1958.
memories of you.
Memories, memories
set me free of all misery. Just say you're mine again. Holding your picture in my hand,
in my hand,
where can you be to pacify me? Will we ever meet
again? Please, please. I beg on bended knees, let's set the pace once more, return and never go. No, don't go, don't go.
Again. Don't go. The boy next door, little small town girl, all your big town dreams will come true in your own hometown.
Little small town girl, that you're looking for
big town dreams will come true in your own hometown.
The one and only Ella Fitzgerald, along with the Ink Spots from 1950 on Decca Records, I believe recorded in 1950 and released in 1951. A very pretty rendition of Little Small Town Girl. Had a nice female lead set there for you. We began with Margot Sylvia and the Toon Weavers, and Make That 1959 on Casa Grande Records. Casa Grande number 101, a tune entitled Little Boy. Right in the middle, Lil Greenwood on Federal Records from 1952, originally Federal number 12,093, and now on that wonderful compilation on Ace Records, an Ace Records CD from England covering Lil Greenwood's material on both the Modern and Federal Records labels. The title of the CD, Walkin' and Singin' the Blues, Lil Greenwood, thanks to the folks at Ace Records. Featured that one from 1952. And then we closed it out with Ella and the Ink Spots from 1950, Little Small Town Girl. Here in the big town of New York City on the Group Harmony Review. As we jump now to 1963.
Try.
Okay, Baby, It's You, the original Spaniels, VJ number 101 from 1953. Just ahead of that from 1963, The Swinging Hearts on 620 Records, number 1002, How Can I Love You? You're in tune with 90.7 FM, WFUV and WFUV.org. Public radio from Fordham University with yours truly, Dan Romanello, on the Group Harmony Review. Plenty more very special Collector's Corner information and material coming right up. You can send email to Dan Romanello at WFUV.org. And stay tuned to 90.7 FM.
Well, I miss you.
FM with a very special feature saluting the ladies of R&B.
Now listen, youngster, be on your way. Don't bother me till a later day. I like my men like I like my whiskey. Aged and mellow. Junior may be young and stronger, but I'll take Grandpa 'cause he's had it longer. I like my men like I like my whiskey. Aged and mellow.
Dan Romanello, and a great pleasure to welcome back to the show two friends of the music, Jerry Skakandish and Rich Kriz, are back here in the studios with me tonight and going to be providing not only Collector's Corner material, but some information for the very first time. I guess we can say, guys, right, Lost Legends of R&B?
Definitely, Dan. Definitely.
I would agree with that.
Welcome back to the show, Jerry and Rich.
Dan, thank you. Really appreciate the opportunity to come up here and especially to share what I think is some thrilling information. And I hope your audience will agree with that.
I think they absolutely will. You know, we gave the folks a little mention last week. We said that you guys hopefully would be dropping by tonight. And as part of our Black History Month specials, some very unique information going to be presented for the very first time on this show and possibly on the airwaves about two legendary rhythm and blues vocal groups that here in New York City we have always loved, but I'm sure people around the country love them just as much. Really is a thrill to have you back here tonight. And you want to tell the folks who we're going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to be talking about the Mastertones, who recorded on Bruce Records, and the Swans, who recorded on Rainbow. Both had, I think, two of the greatest R&B songs ever recorded.
Definitely two groups, Dan, that I know are close to your heart and my heart. And it's just shocking and thrilling, both at the same time, to just go through this little path of research to see what we can uncover.
I absolutely agree. When you first told me about this, that you had been in touch with members of the Mastertones on Bruce and the Swans, who recorded for Rainbow and Steamboat Records, the first thing that came to my mind was, we're talking about legendary recordings. I mean, these have always been so special to the music and to this show in particular over the years. And to think that after all these years, as the show's getting ready to hit its 40th anniversary, and here we are in the year 2003 playing material from the early 1950s, and suddenly we're going to uncover the history about groups that we've known absolutely nothing about, or at least very little. And maybe you want to tell the folks how this all came about, Jerry.
I can't wait, Dan. I mean, as you know, there are probably hundreds of R&B groups of the 1950s that we'll never know who the members were, what their backgrounds were, the history of those groups. But every so often, fate plays its hand, and in this case, I don't think we could have picked two better groups to discover who they were, some history about them, and also that some of them are still alive. Just to set the stage here a little bit, about a month, in the early part of December, I received an email one night, and the message was very brief. It basically said, "My father sang with the Mastertones. Would you like to talk to him?" Now, after I picked myself off the floor, my response obviously was, yes, I certainly will. So I really need, I think we need to give credit to Kiki McIntyre Montoya, who is the stepdaughter of Doc Robinson, the Mastertones. She was searching the Internet looking for information about her dad's old group. We're talking almost 50 years here, Dan. And she actually found her way onto one of my websites that I had the Mastertones listed. She found my email, and that's sort of the genesis of how this all began. So from that night until several weeks ago, I have been on the telephone quite a bit, and I've been trying to put together a bio and an article. And we're going to share tonight really, you know, the names, where these people really came from, which is another irony, because 50 years ago, all of these members came from the White Plains area, and all these years have been within earshot of WFUV, other radio shows, and have not had a clue, man for man, have not had a clue that anyone remembered their records, thought about them, or cared about them.
That is unbelievable.
All these years.
The excitement that they probably experienced, I understand they were at the UGHA meeting recently, when they attended the meeting and saw all of their fans as kind of, I guess, a backup to everything you were telling them about on the phone. It must have been unbelievable for them.
I think they were truly astounded. Even his stepdaughter, who I keep kidding when I say, "Kiki, look what you started."
Yeah, so we really have to give her credit. A little background on a group.
Yeah, like when they got together, and then maybe we'll listen to some of the sides, and we'll give the folks more information in between. And this is all going to be the article you just mentioned that you're writing is going to be appearing in Tony Watson's magazine. That's Blues and
Rhythm, The Gospel Truth.
The Gospel Truth.
Probably a couple of months. Tony sent me an email. They have a lot of material to have published, but it will come out in a couple of months, and I'll let you know, and we can share that with the audience. It's a great magazine.
Oh, absolutely.
Really a pretty prestigious blues magazine. They do a lot of good R&B work also.
It very much is, and I would like to just take this opportunity, by the way, before we go any further, to thank you up front for your generosity. You've been sharing this information, I know, with a lot of people, as you did with me, and you were kind enough to come right up here to the station to try to get it out to the folks. So, I mean, songs like this and information about artists like this is so, I guess, vital to the history of the music, and that's why it's appreciated so much. So, okay, I'll turn it back over to you. I know you're going to give us a little history. We're going to start with the Mastertones.
We're going to start with the Mastertones, Dan. Once again, some neighborhood pals that were living in White Plains on Russell and Fulton Street. And around 1951, they were attending Battle Hill Junior High School in White Plains. The group lineup, these are the original and only members of the Mastertones. The lead singer was Clarence Pop Gray. The bass was Charlie Stoney Dimbo, who is still alive. Second tenor was Emmanuel Doc Robinson, who is still alive. Frank McRae, baritone, and George Bronx Rivers, first tenor. Like many other groups, they started singing in school, in the gymnasium, in the hallways, and they finally reached a point where they felt they were pretty good and they needed a name. They chose the name The Hearts. Now, Doc and Stoney don't quite remember, but they didn't go with the bird name like the Swans and the Orioles, etc., so they chose The Hearts. Like many other groups that were seeking fame and fortune, they finally found their way down to the Apollo Theater. So around early 1954, they appeared at the Apollo Theater. They won first prize singing Money Honey. And a friend of a friend had a contact at Bruce Records. And they were brought down into the studio. Now, what's interesting is that the night they recorded Tell Me, the other Bruce recording group was in the studio, the Hoptones. Raul Cedar and Willie and the group were recording earlier. At a recent party, I had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Cedar and Mr. Winfield, and they vividly remember the Mastertones, not by name, but they remember the group that night. And Cedar remembered or thought that they came from Connecticut. He knew they was from someplace up north.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess anywhere out of Harlem and White Plains was sort of north of Harlem. So he remembers them that night.
That's fantastic. Now, this was around 1954 when they appeared and won at the Apollo.
Correct.
And they were still known as, at that time,
The Hearts.
The Hearts.
Right.
So when they won the performance, they were as The Hearts.
As The Hearts.
Okay.
That leads into the other piece of the story.
Okay.
How they got the name. Obviously, when they got down to Bruce, Monty Bruce, Leo Rodgers, that whole contingent, they knew there was a existing Hearts group, which was the Female Hearts, who had auditioned for them earlier. So therefore, they knew they needed to make a name change. And pretty much on the spot, because they were making a master record, hence they chose the Mastertones.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
That's how the name came about. And personally, I think that was very apropos because as the Mastertones, they created a masterpiece.
They sure did. That is very well put. It's a masterpiece of rhythm and blues vocal group harmony. And, I think about the early days of collecting at Times Square Records when Tell Me by the Mastertones was first being reissued. I mean, the original release of it is priceless. But even to find sometimes a second and third pressing on Bruce's, Bruce and many of the other labels in the early 60s were reissuing the material. So it became kind of a, Tell Me by the Mastertones became kind of a legend among the collectors in the early 60s, just to obtain that. And no one knew, had any idea exactly who they were. And from our discussions, we know that Tell Me wasn't even the A-side, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
The up-tempo side.
What do you do? Just to add another piece of information here, the only names that people would associate based upon looking at the record and looking at the writer credits were C. Gray and G. Gray. Now, we know that Clarence Gray was the lead singer. His brother, Gene Gray, wrote the songs, but did not sing with the group. So Clarence is the lead on Tell Me, and the side I think we're going to hear now, the up-tempo, What'll You Do? You'll hear both Stoney Dimbo, the bass lead, and then Clarence on this also.
Okay, so Clarence is doing the lead along with the bass lead.
That's correct.
This is the bass lead on the up-tempo. Mm-hmm. And this was the intended A-side of the disc in 1954. And we're going to be playing the records tonight, folks. Rich and Jerry were kind enough not only to bring all this information and beautiful photos, but we're going to start off from Rich Criz's collection on 45 RPM of the Mastertones. So shall we give the folks the A-side?
Absolutely.
Of this legendary recording from 1954, Bruce Records, at long last, finally learning about the history of this fabulous New York area vocal group from 1954, the up-tempo side of the disc, What'll You Do? Here at 90.7 FM on WFUV in New York City, thanks to Jerry Skakandish and Rich Kriz on the Group Harmony Review.
But a crazy fool.
You're so dumb, oh baby. You're so dumb, I don't think maybe.
You're so
dumb, a fool. You said that new rule. You're so dumb, a fool.
You giggle, you twiggle, but baby, when you wake.
The Mastertones, Bruce Records, 1954, the A side of the disc, What'll You Do? At long last, thanks to Jerry Skakandish, Rich Kriz here, and thanks for that, providing that record, Rich. We're learning all about this fabulous vocal group from the 1950s.
Just a comment, Dan. The few folks that remembered the Mastertones release, George Lavatelli is one of them. A couple of the people that I talked to really only remember this side being played. Even Doc Robinson, a friend of his, told him that he heard his record. This is before Doc even knew it was released, mm-hmm. that he heard the record on the radio, but it was What'll You Do that was being played.
In the 50s, to mid-50s.
Yeah.
We can't find anybody that heard Tell Me.
Tell Me, yeah, that didn't happen until that was the side put on the Times Square record lists.
Yeah.
It was later. And Slim started playing it on his show, so that was much later. That's when it was second pressed on Blue Wax. And
the poor response initially is why there weren't more copies made.
Yeah. Oh, yes. As far as the original goes, right.
Here's something I think that you'll find really interesting. Bill Olb, who's a friend of ours and a longtime record collector, Bill works with a gentleman by the name of Harold Liddell, who had a radio show starting in 1949 on WNJR, maybe the first rhythm and blues radio station in New Jersey. And Harold also worked for Essex Records. They were distributors of Bruce, Aladdin, Modern, and some other labels at the time. And Bill was talking to Harold because they worked together today in a bank. And Harold remembers when the Mastertones box was received from Bruce Records, to promote the record. And typically what he would do would play the record at night, and if it received enough of a response, he would tell the record company, who would then press some more records. Well, the Mastertone records received no response. Therefore, there was limited pressing, and then what will probably boggle your mind here is that the copies that he had left at the station and his company, Essex Records, they would typically either throw them away if the record was not going to go any further. But Harold remembers that they would do dances and promos, and they would give the record away free. So some kids out there in 1954
who won a
paid a quarter to a yeah. dance yeah.
And got a free copy of Tell Me.
Has an original of Tell Me, a priceless record.
That probably most of them either quickly discarded yeah. or lost over the past 50 years here.
That is, it is so interesting. You know, the other thing is, too, you mentioned about the response to the record. It's so unique to me that as time went by, I mean, I know in the earlier days, you'd hear more of the up-tempo sides mm-hmm. on the radio. Mm-hmm. You went back to the 50s, and what you heard was the up-tempo. As the collector orientation began in the 60s, everything changed to a certain degree yeah. where everyone was focusing on the beautiful ballad. When you listen to this group, the talent is overwhelming. You're talking about a young teenage group who can perform like this, and you have to wonder if was it the timing, or maybe if they did play the ballad side, could that possibly have caught on? You know, no one will ever know. That's just pure speculation. Because they went with what was popular at that time, which would have been mostly up-tempo discs. But just to find this information out today about these legendary groups is so rewarding. And I guess you must feel that to a large degree, especially when you were talking to the members.
Absolutely. I can't tell you. I lost track of how many times, you know, Doc and his daughter and we'll talk about the Swans later on, how many times they thank me, but I just keep telling them this is just our way, you know, of thanking them for the years of joy, pure joy and satisfaction that we've had in listening to these records. It's unfortunate that it's a bit late, but as they say, better late than never. I think we,
absolutely.
You know, we close a piece of history, and I think this music is an important piece of American history and American music. So, you know, we at least can add another chapter here and identify and pay tribute to these people. Unfortunately, we've got two of the original Mastertones that are still alive and three of the original Swans, and they were purely, you know, just ecstatic over the recognition they received. So it's been extremely rewarding, but it's just really, I think, us giving back to them, Dan.
Well, yeah. When you look back, you really have to say, for all the years that we've been adoring these two records, we've actually enjoyed it more than they have, because it kind of left them very rapidly after they recorded it.
Yeah, and all these years they were influencing and giving happiness and joy and appreciation to so many people and didn't even know it until now. Well, thankfully they're able to learn about what's been going on now, and thanks to your website and them contacting you and you putting the information out there. I know you do a lot of research in the music, Jerry, and you're very much involved in promoting just the music on for the sake of preserving it. And Richard, you've been up here so many times in the past helping out the show with your rare records, you and Nick. So here we are now making this impact, I think, which is so important, not only, like you said, writing another chapter for the music, but also for the artists to find out how people have thought of them all these years.
That's the biggest thrill, Dan.
And there is a connection that you're going to get to later, right, between
Correct.
The Mastertones.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well, there's absolutely a connection between the Mastertones and the Swans.
Yeah, so we'll keep the people. This is just such an exciting time for us to be finding this out. Do you want to get to the ballad side?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I've got to say that if I've heard this record 1,000 times and I hear it 1,000 more, which I hope I will, it just gives me chills every time I hear it. It's a unique sound. I mean, even for the time, 1954, this is an extremely unique sound, a haunting sound, somewhat, I think, a little bit even off the beaten path of if you listen to what was the standard fare at the time, you know, the real rhythm and blues. But there's just something different and something special. And I think, as you alluded to earlier, Dan, this was an incredibly talented group. Clarence and, you know, great lead, great tenors, bass, the whole group. It just came together. It was something magic happened at that Bruce studio that
Fabulous.
Night.
Fabulous. You're absolutely right. I mean, they were so polished. And the harmony was so exceptional, and it was their only release. This was it, the Mastertones on Bruce. And, you know, back then, too, the talent was so incredible where you could just walk into a studio, and maybe in a few takes you had a masterpiece like this.
You're 100% correct, because when I spoke with Doc Robinson, he remembers that it was no more than three or four takes. There was very little to fix anything up. It was pretty quick. He actually had to stand on a chair because he was using an overhead, like a boom mic, I guess. And so he had to stand on a chair and sort of lean up a little bit into the microphone. But it certainly captured an incredible beginning, because Doc Robinson is the first voice that you hear on Tell Me. And I know we've got a special treat here tonight. Yes. To really intro this record.
So thanks to also your efforts and their kind generosity and Doc's. And we have a nice little introduction they made as we're about to feature Tell Me by the Mastertones. And once again, you described it perfectly, Jerry. I think from the first time I heard this, I was floored. I just fell in love with this song the first time I heard it. It was a very unique sound, even for that time period. It kind of set themselves apart from other recordings. So when someone talked about Tell Me by the Mastertones, you immediately had that distinction in your mind. But Jerry has brought, and Rich, they brought a little introduction to the song. So what do you say we give that a listen? And then we go right into the Mastertones, Tell Me from 1954. Okay, here at 90.7 FM. The Group Harmony Review, special guest tonight, Jerry Skokandish, Rich Criss, and now, from members of the Mastertones, coming right up.
Darling, you are the pig of my heart. Darling, you are the flame that despite.
Hello, this is Doc Robinson of the Mastertones on Bruce. You're listening to WFUV 90.7 at Fordham University.
Darling, you are the pick of my heart. I've undone
There we have the Master Tones Bruce Records 1954. Once again, from one of those old vintage 45s on the Bruce label. And that very unique and beautiful recording entitled Tell Me, the Master Tones, along with that really nice introduction. Thanks for that. Thanks very much. So now, at that time, when the Mastertones kind of disbanded, they weren't, when they were traveling and performing, it was as the Mastertones.
Correct.
They didn't use a different name or anything else. So this pretty much then, that would put a cap on the groups performing and traveling when Doc then went on to get involved with someone else.
That's correct. Now, this whole story now really unravels into a much larger story, because we're going to segue now into another legendary group, the Swans. But getting back to the point of the Mastertones, when they went on this tour down south, one of the members, and I believe it was Frank McRae, could not make the tour. And another friend from the neighborhood filled in. And this person sang with the group, another White Plains group called the Drones. The Drones had no recording. But the lead singer of the Drones, who sang with the Mastertones on tour, his name was Ray Roberts. And we're going to find out that Ray Roberts is the lead singer on My True Love by the Swans. So the connection with the Mastertones now leads into another local group, which leads into the Swans. This story also could have been, instead of Lost Legends of R&B, could have been the R&B Legends of White Plains.
Right, well, very well could have. Yeah. Now, this was all happening around 1954.
54,
right?
A little bit earlier with the Swans, I think. 53, a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Yeah. 53, 54.
So when the member of the Swans was filling in, let's say, with the Mastertones, it was a little bit earlier than, or right around the time the record was probably recorded but not released yet, or right around there.
That's correct. Now, when we get into the Swan story, you're going to find out that they recorded and, like, almost instantly disappeared. I mean,
wow. Unbelievable.
Speaking of Clifford James on the Swans, and jumping a little bit ahead, but he lamented to me several times that we didn't play anywhere, we didn't do anything, we just sort of went into the studio.
He never
made
even
the record,
saw the record.
Never man. Saw it, and, like, that was it.
He never saw a copy of the record? Probably not until you were...
78, he saw
78.
78 copy, yeah.
And no, so you presented him with the with that nice frame that might have been the first time in so many years that he'd seen it. So where are we at this point now? We're talking about the breakup of the Mastertones.
But now we're going to really actually go back,
go back a little bit.
We're going to go back a little bit to the Swans or so.
Okay. So
released in 53 on Rainbow.
Rainbow Records. We're going to move now to another legendary rhythm and blues recording on a New York City label, Rainbow Records. Again, a one-shot release for a vocal group until some years later when another item surfaced under another label, Steamboat, which we're going to get to. But similar to the Mastertones, you had this very unique and exceptional recording. And again, they're from the same area.
Correct. They were the Swans were from Greenburg, which is a stone throw from White Plains. Yeah. But they all pretty much traveled in similar circles. Doc Robinson mentioned that they actually had a friend who was sort of their manager early on who lived in Greenburg, and they would walk to his house at night and practice every night until the manager's wife threw them out, and it was sort of they were disrupting their family life. But they're sort of all intertwined.
And they knew of each other at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Swan story is where we're going to go to right now. We're back in White Plains, and time is about what, 19?
Well, they also began around 51.
51
they both began
together?
Around 51 in the neighborhood singing.
Same school, or?
Some of the Swans attended White Plains High School. I think several of them did not attend high school. And we were fortunate that there was no group photo. We have a group photo of the Mastertones, fortunately, and it came from a newspaper article. So we have a photo of the group. The Swans, there was no photo available, but we were able to get a picture, and these are really graduation pictures, of Clifford James and a picture of Ray Roberts. And this was through a friend who had a friend at White Plains High School today who went back in the archives and did us a real big favor here. But the Swans formed in Greenburg around 1951, and the original members, James Brabham, Charlie Drew, Donald Sledge, Charlie Chirac, Clifford James, and Ray Roberts. Now, to make a note here, Donald Sledge was not on the recording. He was in the service. So it's really Brabham, who wrote My True Love, Charlie Drew, Charlie Chirac, and that name will come up later again when we talk about the Swans on Steamboat, Clifford James, and Ray Roberts, who is the lead and was the lead on this other local group, the Drones. So they were singing, and they were listening, you know, to the Orioles and the Cardinals, those types of groups. And the connection was, once again, a friend who had a friend that they met in the basement of the Apollo Theater. They did not perform, but based upon some information that was provided to me, we believe that they met Lover Patterson, who had connections with the Five Crowns,
sure,
et cetera,
with
and
Rainbow.
That was
right.
That was their entree into Rainbow Records. When I talked to Clifford James, and I actually did speak to James Brabham, their recollections are somewhat cloudy. It was, I hate to say, a non-event, but it was basically they went to the studio, they cut the record. Once again, it was several takes, nothing that was memorable, and that was it. They left. They never heard from the company. I'm not even sure how much it was played, because I could not find any references in any of the Galen Gart Billboard Press magazines in 53, of any, not even a mention of the Swans. I don't even think the record was rated. I have not spoken to anyone that remembers hearing it. I think it basically just came and went really almost immediately.
Very limited pressings.
Very, very limited, yeah.
You know,
well, it only came out on Red Wax.
Yeah, you see, that leads to further speculation, because what they were doing in the early 50s, a lot of the record companies were putting the records out on colored wax to make them attractive for the disc jockeys. And then once they would catch on, later pressings would sometimes then come out on black wax. So the fact that this was only issued on red wax suggests that there was very limited pressings right from the onset. And it is just an enormously beautiful recording. And again, you know, it always strikes me when I listen to these young, early rhythm and blues groups, they were so talented. You know, you're talking about so many different part harmonies, a quartet or a quintet, they're getting together in just a matter of a few takes. They produce a gem, an exceptional recording. Then there was no overdubbing, there was no added this, and the talent that went by and through these studios here in New York and around the country with respect to the rhythm and blues artists is just overwhelming at times. And this song in particular, My True Love, it is just so exceptional and dynamic. I mean, in trying to describe it, and in addition, extremely rare 45, as we're talking about, because it's limited pressings. So you have to wonder, you know, when they recorded this, what was Rainbow Records doing? And did they, by the way, did they select the name themselves after the Bird groups? Did they pick the Swans?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, that was definitely a Bird.
And who was the author of the song? Who wrote the song?
James Brabham.
Did you talk? You talked to him?
I spoke with James. Unfortunately,
that's unbelievable.
I wasn't able to spend a lot of time. The first night I called, his wife was taken to the hospital, sad to say that several weeks later she passed away, which is why he could not attend the UGHA meeting. But we hope in the future that James will come back and we'll get a chance to meet him in person. So I really backed off and really, you know, was not able to get too much information. He did drop a nice little nugget of information, though, and that was he believed that they had other material recorded at Rainbow that has never come out.
So you never know. I mean, it could suggest there was something by the Mastertones, now maybe something by the Swans. this is around, the recording is around 1953.
53.
Right,
it
when
came
it was
out in
recorded.
December.
It came out in December of 53. My True Love. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful title. And, you know, you think about the inspiration that probably went into something like this. Maybe one of these days down the road, if we can get members of these groups here, guys, I mean, you know, we can get their own thoughts about maybe right. what prompted them to write something like some of the songs we talk about. But just finding out this today, I think, is so important to what we're doing. And the flip side, again, do you think that there was a connection with what we were talking about before where the record company was looking to push the up-tempo side of the disc?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I believe that also, yeah.
So, the only hint on the record is that the master number for this is earlier. It's one number earlier than the My True Love.
So this was, yeah, this was done first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only hint.
So we'll start off with the up-tempo side.
Yep.
Rainbow Records, 1953. And who was the lead on this side? Do we know?
Ray Roberts.
Who was
oh, no.
Ray?
Oh, no. Jerry's trying to...
We're not sure exactly who sang lead on the up-tempo side. Okay, Ray Roberts is doing the lead on the flip.
On the flip.
We're going to get to that in just a little bit. The Swans, Rainbow Records, 1953. Ain't Like That No More.
till then, I'll go on searching for you, darling, my true love. Oh, my true love.
And there we have it, one of the legendary rhythm and blues vocal group harmony recordings of all time, My True Love. Very nice. Rainbow Records, 1953. Jerry Skokandish, Rich Cruz are here tonight, and we have, for the first time ever, information about the group and who they were, where they were from the New York area. You know, adding to the mystique, as we were talking off the mic about My True Love by the Swans, there were no writer's credits on the label, so that just added to the mystery of who the members were. But once again, let's tell the folks about the personnel on that one.
Certainly, Dan, my privilege and honor. The Swans on Rainbow, Ray Roberts on lead, along with James Brabham, Charlie Drew, Charlie Chirac, and Clifford James, who I had the pleasure of meeting Clifford a couple of weeks ago, along with Donald Sledge, who was not on the record. He was in the service, but he was with the group from the beginning in 1951.
So he did play a part in them getting together, and also we had that very nice promo as an introduction to My True Love.
It sounds like Clifford James can still do some bassing.
Yeah, I think so.
With that rich, resonant voice there?
I think so, absolutely.
Well, we have five live guys, you know,
so, between the two groups. So there's a quintet between the Swans/Mastertones. So now there is another rare and legendary item by the Swans from a little bit later on in the 1950s. We're talking about 3 or 4 years later. That's where we're going to go now, I think.
That's correct, Dan. We're talking about the Swans on Steamboat. Another one of those R&B mysteries. Were they the same Swans that recorded on Rainbow? And I think we have pieced some of it together. The full complement might not be known. But leading into the Steamboat story, we really have to take now the end of the Swans on Rainbow and the Mastertones, and they disbanded, but around 1956, we have a group that formed, and it's another White Plains group that did not record, a group called the Partners. What's interesting here is that the Partners consisted of Doc Robinson of the Mastertones, if you can check this group out, Donald Sledge of the original Swans, James Brabham, Charlie Drew, and here's the interesting part, and here's the connection into Steamboat. The other member of the Partners was Buddy Lucas Jr., the son of the famous Buddy Lucas band leader. So the Partners kicked around. Donald Sledge remembers the visit to 1650 Broadway. I don't know if that's the Brill Building, but they walked up and down the stairs and they auditioned, but nothing really came of that. The Partners did record in the New York area. And ironically, Donald remembers one of their last performances was at a club in Lodi, New Jersey. And he said it was a pretty fancy club because they had carpeting on the floor. And sort of ironically, 50 years later, Doc and Donald and Clifford appeared at UGHA at their first appearance at the Lodi Boys and Girls Club that is now the new home of UGHA. So sort of the circle is completed 50 years later. Wow. where they ended. And that fact wasn't lost on Doc's daughter, Kiki, either. And they thought it was really quite something that they wound up back there 50 years later. So the Partners, once again, about 56, and in probably towards the end of 56, the group broke up, no recordings that they knew of. Mm-hmm. But now we come into the Steamboat recording. Now, when I was initially interviewing Doc and some of the other members, and this is over the telephone, I'm playing records for them to listen to because they literally had not listened to their records in 50 years. So, of course, we know the Mastertones. Doc was on the lead intro, et cetera, et cetera. Then I started asking about, did you make any other recordings? And I would go back to that question two, three, four times with Doc. And he couldn't really remember any other recording. But when I got to the point of leading into the Steamboat record, Doc said, you know, I remember singing something with the Partners maybe later on, and it was something we sang called Early in the Morning. Now, at that point, I had the Steamboat record in front of me, and I look and I flipped over the Believe in Me to the flip side, and here's In the Morning. Now, this was too much of a coincidence that he remembers Early in the Morning. The Steamboat has In the Morning. So immediately I put it on my turntable. Now, this is on the telephone, so I crank it up. As the first second that In the Morning started playing, Doc Robinson immediately started singing, 50 years later. So I think the coincidence is a little too much. Now, along with that, as soon as he heard it, he immediately shouted out that that's Charlie Chirac on lead.
Another,
so he identified another member of the Partners and the original Swans.
Right. He was in the original Swans.
Correct. Mm.
And now he's on lead.
Correct.
On the up-tempo side of the Steamboat record.
That's correct.
In the Morning.
In the Morning.
Yeah.
Now I flip it over and play the ballad, Believe in Me. Doc immediately jumps out again. That's Ray Roberts, who was the original lead of the Swans.
My True Love. Same lead. Okay. Well, that real bluesy tune of Ain't Like That No More was such a contrast to My True Love, and I guess we'll give the folks both sides of the Steamboat record as well, the ballad and the up-tempo side that you described early in the morning. Jerry Skokandish, Rich Kriz, we're going to move over now to 1957 and give a listen to, this was issued in 57, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Swans, Steamboat Records. We have the ballad up, that's Ray Roberts. Same lead as My True Love. And we have one more promo. Maybe we'll do that as we flip over from one side to the next. So here are the Swans on Steamboat Records from 1957 on the Group Harmony Review.
For the dawning,
you, baby. I love you with all my might. But look for your little honey child. Why can't you treat me right in the morning? Well, it's before the dawning. In the morning, pretty baby. Well, just before day. I'm leaving you, baby. To stay, but look at your little old honey child. I won't be back this way in the morning. Well, before the dawning, in the morning, pretty baby, just before day. Yeah, well. You, baby, a long time ago, I'm leaving you little honey child. I thought that you should know in the morning, well, for the dawning, in the morning, pretty baby, well, just before day, well, in the morning, oh, I'm leaving you child in the morning. Gonna be gone for a long, long while in the morning. Well, just I love you, baby.
And there we have both sides of the Swans on Steamboat Records, 1957, early in the morning just now. A nice bluesier up-tempo side and the ballad Believe in Me on the flip, featuring Ray Roberts on lead. And right in the middle, another nice promo. I want to thank my guest tonight for this enormously important information to the history of the R&B vocal group sound. As Jerry and Mitch mentioned earlier, another chapter, or chapters as the case may be, closed and completed on this music, for which after all these years we knew nothing about, and here we are learning it in the year 2003. Jerry Skokandish, Rich Chris, thanks, guys, for being here, for the information, for sharing the information, writing the article. We're looking forward to seeing it, and for bringing the material tonight. Thank you very much.
Dan, it's been our pleasure. This is all about providing recognition and thanking these performers. And so I thank you for giving us this opportunity to really get the story of the Mastertones and the Swans out over, really across the world now on the internet. So it goes beyond just the tri-state area here. So we're I think we've, you know, we've done good, and we're trying to help these guys that did something for us 50 years ago.
Yeah. A nice give back to what they've given to us in the music, for them to see the recognition.
It's a pleasure coming along for the ride with Jerry. It's been an enjoyable experience, Dan. And all I would like to say to Kiki is, look what you started, Kiki.
Thanks, Richard. And thanks, Richard, for bringing those 45s.
That's okay.
Yeah. And, guys, you know, we got to get together soon again. Got to come back here. Bring Nico along. Maybe we'll go have some dinner over on Arthur Avenue and do another show together. You're always welcome back to 90.7 FM. Thank you, my special guest in the Collector's Corner, and this historic information presented for the very first time. And you got to check out those upcoming articles. Thanks to Jerry Skokandish, and thank you, Rich Chris. You're in tune with 90.7 FM, WFUV and WFUV.org. Member-supported public radio from Fordham University in New York.